Hello everyone, great to be here. I'm not going to say too much right in the beginning, just that we can start and share what is on our heart. It's always great visiting East London. I'm getting so fat of all these HQ visits. I must say the chauffeur people all over are very good at treating us. Me and Heracles have decided we will need to do the Ironman next year. Milani, is that an amen from you? Just to get in shape again. Yes, I'm going to start off, typical me, I'm going to ask a question. What makes the good news good? And why I ask this is that if we're supposed to share the good news to the world, why don't everyone always receive it as good news? If it's good news, you know, if something good happened in your life and you share it with someone, they're supposed to also enjoy that. So why do people not always enjoy our good news? And what I want to show you today is, you know, what makes the good news good? And I want to read to you 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And the answer is right there. I'm really going to answer the whole title of the sermon in the second slide, is that when we share the good news, we must never forget that obviously the good news is that Jesus died for us and He rose up and now we can have eternal life. But what makes the good news good is when we can also show the glory of Christ. Amen? So a lot of times the problem that we make is that we want to share the good news, but we don't show the glory of Christ. So a lot of times people just receive it as something historical, or they think that we're weird, or something like that. And I just realized the importance of getting this right, where we actually need to, I want to say, step up in making a decision, also when we share, to make the good news good. And I'm going to show you some practical stuff, how to do it. And just for a little bit of background, I remember coming from Namibia, I was the regional pastor, what do we call ourselves? I first had to think, what am I calling myself again? And when I came back to Stellenbosch after a year, now I was at Stellenbosch for 12 years, I was used to working between the students and stuff. And when I came back, it was so weird. This is like, it's sometimes good to go away from those that were in Stellenbosch. And when you come back, you're like, things open up for me. It's like I was seeing people differently, because if you're in a place, it's like the frog in the hot water. The water is getting hotter and hotter, but the frog doesn't realize it. And when I came back, I realized, wow, these students that we have here is a whole new species. They've changed. Something happened here. And because they were, if I can say, in my time, not that I'm that old, that's the thing of visiting Andre. When Moses went up the mountain and came back, there was like a glow. When I visit Andre now, suddenly I have like gray hair. my ears. But anyway, so now I also have some impartation. But I'm not that old. Andre is also not that old. No, the true story is, the Bible says, with the gray hair, the wisdom. So you can't have wisdom, not gray hair. It's biblical. Anyway, so I was watching these students with everyone suddenly has like a Justin Bieber hair going this way. But basically, I want to I want to read to you Psalm 78, verse 8. And that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart is not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Do you also know a generation like that? Is there people like this here in East London? Is there like a yes? By the way, I'm involved with small groups. I'm used to people reacting back. So, you know people, Stadman people, just do something, some type of reaction. Anyway, but what is nice is that in Psalms, God actually gives us the answer what to do with a generation like this. Now, David was not a scientist. He gives the problem in verse 8 and gives the solution in the beginning. So I'm going to start with verse 8 and go back to verse 1 because there's the solution. Verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we've heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done. He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but to keep his commandments, and that they should not be like. So the answer is to what do we do to a stubborn generation or this in situation we're at the moment is, I want to go back to verse 4, if you can just go back to verse 4. We will not hide them. Now what's the things that we will not hide? The glorious deeds of the Lord, his might, and his wonders. Now, if we realize, and I want to maybe just for a moment stick to that verse. If the Bible says, I will not hide it. If you don't hide something, what do you do? Now, show is still very diplomatic. I want to use the word brag. If you don't hide something, if you don't hide God's good works, you are showing his good works. You're actually bragging about him. Are you with me? Now, the Bible says here that we should not hide these works that God has done in our lives to the generation, next generation, next generation. The children yet unborn. So now my question this morning is, all of us sitting here, I'm sure have something in our life that we can say that is an indication of God's glorious deeds, his might, and his wonders. But now, what do we do with that? How would your children's children know about the glorious deed that God did in your life? Are you with me? You see, a lot of the students that I see at Stellenbosch is students, yes, they came from a Christian house. They knew the commandments, if I can put it like that, but they didn't know the works of God. So they don't have a fear of God. So it was like this whole generation that we have that had to have a fear of God because they didn't know what God did. Just for the interest, who of you know how your grandmother or grandfather got saved? Put up your hands quickly. Don't be shy. Do you realize we've got a bit of a problem? Except for the shy people here. But we've got a bit of a problem that we don't focus on creating things to make sure that we don't hide it. Now, I want to take it a bit further. I want to take it to Joshua 4, verse 21. And before I read that, just to give some background, when they went through the Jordan, they took some stones, they put it in the middle of the river, and they put it afterwards. Now, verse 21 says, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what these stones mean, then you shall tell your children, no, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. And verse 24 says, so that all the peoples of this earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Now, what I love about this passage is that, do you realize that the stones don't really have anything to do with the miracle itself? Are you with me? What was the purpose of the stones? The stones was there so that people can ask, why is this stones? For generations to come, And the fact that when they hear the story, it says there, and they will fear the Lord. Are you with me? So my question is very simple this morning. Where's your stones? What is your stones in your life? What is the things that you have in your life that when people see it, they ask you, why is it here? So you can tell them of the mighty deeds that God has done in his life. Does it make sense to you? Now, one of the problems that we have is actually that we think that if we would brag about God's goodness, it's an indication that there's some pride in your life. You're afraid that you will offend someone. So let me offend you then quickly. Then, in March this year, after quite a few years, I got my PhD. So the other day, my wife asked me, where should we put up the photos and the graduation, what do you say, certificate thingy? And I told her, in every room. Now, can you sense the humility? But you know the reason why I want to put it in every room is that I know if someone walks into our house, they probably will know I work for the church. They will see I've got a PhD in science. So I want them to ask me, now what on earth is going on here? You've got a PhD in science, but you're working at a church. And I'm going to, yes, let me tell you the story. Are you with me? So I'm going to use the opportunity to testify about something. So for me, my degree is a stone. But the thing is that we actually need to make a decision to create stones in your life. And again, the problem is that we think for some strange reason that there will be pride in our lives. But who of you, I know Rion has a BMW, but if you drive a BMW and you pass the guy with the fuller, it's not like you're passing and thinking, yo, I really don't hope I offend him because I've got the BMW and he not. You know? But when it comes to our spiritual things, we like that. We're afraid to testify about God's goodness in your life because you think it will offend the other guy. But let me put it a bit different. As you can see, when we brag about the goodness of God, it brings glory to God, and that creates a fear of the Lord. So if we don't brag about God's goodness, what are we actually doing? We're actually stealing God's glory. Are you with me? Does it make sense to all of you? You know, it's the same, someone that wears a blue bull jersey doesn't walk past another guy and think, yuck, I don't hope I offend him because I cheer for the Blue Bulls and you're not. You know, but again, when it comes to our spiritual life, we like that. I just want to read you just verse 6 also. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? So that these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Now, this is for me, and I really want us to get to think very practical. Because when, let me put it even a bit different here quickly. Have you ever think on how much time you spent in asking God for something? Sometimes we will fast, sometimes we will pray for weeks, we will pray for years for something, and then God actually comes and he do it for you. And there's a breakthrough, there's a miracle, there's something. Now how much time do you then spend afterwards to say thank you? That's why we've got a teddy bear. That's my... If you, some time in the service full, you need a teddy bear now. That's where there's teddy bears on the couch. But for me, I know, as I said, I help with the small groups. If you want to do a nice small group, this is a nice one. Talk about the good stuff that God's been doing in your life and how are we going to create stones that people can ask us about God. You see, again, the problem is that this is where how to make the good news good. Is that the problem that we sometimes do, we want to go to someone and say, Do you want to hear from of Jesus? You sinner. And now, obviously, that's weird. You know, but if I can create something where someone actually comes up to me and asks about God, it's much easier. Are you with me? You invite the person, and you can show something of who God is. I love the way Jesus also did it. You realize that with the woman at the well, Jesus talks about the living water. What happened in her mind immediately? What on earth is living water? She wanted to ask him. I mean, that gives a platform to then talk to the lady. The same with Nicodemus. Jesus said to him, you can't get to heaven if you can't get born again. He was using that so that he can get the person to actually ask, now what does it mean? He said, he's creating a platform for people to actually ask you a question. And so, I'm talking here about stones, but there's so many things that we can do today to create the same thing. Now, just quickly, in the Old Testament, they didn't have that many, that technology and stuff. So what they would do is, just to give you a few examples, is that you all know Abraham will move to another place. There would be water, a fountain, and he will call it a name. So again, when people pass by it, they would want to know, why is this place, why does it have this name? You know, I don't know how many of you drive from Springbok to Cape Town, but there's in every next place is Hier het ons swaar gekry fontein, bitter water fontein, and all types of things. It's a description of the place and what's happening in the past. But the same it is when God does something in your life to actually get to that place to focus, what can I do to bring glory to Him? Are you with me? It's the same in the Bible. God would do a miracle, and he would say to Moses, write a song. That was a way of telling to the next generation. Or they would write stuff on their doorpost. Now, in today's life, we don't really write things on our doorpost. But we have so many other things that we can use today. For example, Facebook. If you've got Facebook, any Facebook people here? Andre, how many Facebook friends? 500, 600. Anyone more than 500 here? Yeah? Look this. What was the comment there? We have a social club at the back there. Two people with 500 and plus. Anyone with more than 200? The youth is late in. But you realize if we're clever, just to put something on Facebook, just quickly in this room, we've covered a few thousand people. I just love the fact, I don't know if you know, but Fanny van der Merwe, if anyone see Fanny van der Merwe running the Paralympics, and the 200 meter, he got his, it was sixth place, it was semi-sesta. And he wrote a whole testimony about it in Facebook, and last night he won the gold medal for the 100 meter and the world record. If you go, for example, to his Facebook, you will see he's getting the whole memorial stone thing quite right. And it's quite a few thousand people that's been impacted right there because he made an effort to do so. But it's the same where you work, you know, to put up something, and this is where our creativity comes in, where God puts up something where people can ask, why do you have that? The other day I was driving with someone in Gauteng, and he had this thingy over his dashboard. You can actually, I was wondering at some stages if you can see the speed, because it was at some stages, you know, quite dangerous. But anyway, and at some stage I asked him, so what is that thing over your dashboard? And he actually showed me, if you put it out, it's actually a cross, but it's made of like a reed. You know, it's a written English. And he told me then, so I obviously asked him, so what is it all about? And he told me the story. And again, it's a nice, simple way of testifying to put up that rock. So for me in a small group, it would be great. Talk about what God has been doing in your life and how can you make an effort to show it to the world. Does that make sense to you? Can I have an amen on that one? Just on the whole humility thing, I want to read to you quickly 1 Peter 2 verse 12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of the visitation. So if the Gentiles can't see your good deeds, how are they going to glorify God? Are you with me? For me, this is something that the devil has really stolen from us. Now, if you think about these stones in your life, and again, I'm using the word stones now because of Joshua, but in your life, it can be a weird cup or a weird thing in your house. As I said, in my house, I want to put up my degree. There's a few other things that I can do. But the nice thing is weird that your own creativity really comes in. The thing that you can put up to invite people to Christ. Now, if you have that in your in context, I want to read you John 10 verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that I may have life and I may have it more. Now, I come from the Camus, that's a big city there in the Northern Cape, near Upington, for those that don't know. And the Orange River flows past that. And when it's flood, it flows over. So the picture that I want you to see is that when God says, give you more or abundantly, it's something that flows over. You can't keep it for yourself. Now, if the Bible talks that the thief does not come to steal and kill and destroy, I want to say to you, the thing that the devil actually wants to kill and steal and destroy is your stones. We sometimes want to actually brag about all the things that the devil steal and kill and destroy in your life, and we think it's about your physical stuff, your spiritual well-being, your happiness, all this stuff. But I want to go a bit further and say, no, the thing that the devil wants to steal and destroy is those stones. Because those stones is the thing that is life and life abundantly. Those are the things that the world see and see life in Christ. Does it make sense to you? So a lot of times we make the mistake, and even in our way that we pray, we want to say, you know, you want to repent of all the things, we want to say, this thing happened in my life, I've got this issue. And I think if we could see the devil while complaining about all the issues, all the sin in our life, I think he would have do the whole thing like the models do when they win a prize. It's like, oh, really, me? Was it me? Yes. And I, no, please stop, please, I can't take anymore. You know, because what we're actually just doing, we bring glory to the devil while telling me what a great job he's doing. You know, when I want us to, or to challenge you, rather give the devil a stone. You know, rather put up something that can bring people to God than wanted to complain and even to do all these things against the devil or to want to do whatever. You know, we sometimes get so deep, spiritual and high and stuff, but all we need to do is get to a place where we can bring glory to God. It's like the song said, that we see to bring glory to God. I want to, James 4 verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. You spend it on your own passions. And for me, again, this is a place of a lot of people that have so many struggles in their lives, but it's because they ask the wrong things to God. For me, if you would ask God, God help me to put up stones in my life to bring glory to you so that people can get to you, you will see God start answering your prayers. Are you with me? Because it's not about yourself. And I just quickly, and I remember, I've shared a little bit of this the previous time when I was here, but I will just see this part too. Just to understand a little bit of the devil's strategy in your life, I want to read to you John 10, verse 12. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Again, I come from a farm. You don't talk about, or you don't really have a problem when something scatter the sheep. You would rather have a problem when they kill the sheep. You see, the devil can't kill us. but he can scatter us. Now, what does it mean? You can see that when the devil comes in, it's the same with the story of the 100 sheep. He's trying to get sheep number 100 to be on his own. And it's the same even in our spiritual life. What the devil tries to do with all of us is to get us to a place that what the things that we think is all about ourselves. We're trying to isolate ourselves. And then we become like the next picture, like one droplet. And in your prayer life even, you think on how can I become a better Christian? How can I have less sin? How can I be all about myself? You understand what I'm saying? It's like your whole prayer life, everything you do is more about yourself. Now, as I said, I came from Namibia. I was in Swakopmund, and it's the desert just, well, it's around Swakopmund. And I can tell you that if one droplet like that, even with triple osmosis, would land in the desert, guess what would that one droplet do to the desert? Zit. And the same is if the devil can get you to think, focus on yourself, focus on what I can do, what I am, what my issues, my problems, you like one droplet. Now the thing is, the devil is not afraid of one droplet, but he is afraid of a wave. Now, so one thing is, now I'm talking here about the good deeds and all the miracles, but you're going to have struggle to have miracles in your life if you isolate yourself. It's the same, the devil tries to get you to get to be sheep number 100. And the interesting thing is, when we think about that story, for some strange reason, when I was young, I always saw this picture of, the Bible says, in leaves, the good shepherd leaves the 99 and go after sheep number 100. And I was seeing this picture of he leaves the 99 in a nice crawl. Have you ever read that part? It actually says he left the sheep in the wilderness. So if the good shepherd is with sheep number 100, who is looking after the 99? The 99. And they're not in a crawl, they're in the wilderness. Are you all with me? So the devil strategy again, and for me to, this morning, is really to let us all get to that place where we can examine ourselves, to get to, are we growing in the direction God wants us? Even driving around in East London, you just sense there's such a, it's like the soil is so fertile here, but also spiritually, the things that you're going to plant here is going to grow, also spiritually. But with that, the problem with good soil is that it's the good stuff and the bad stuff grow. All of them grow. And all of us need to get often to that place when we examine yourself and to make sure that the things that's growing is from God. Because sometimes even good things isn't from God. Are you all with me? So there's a few things that I want us to examine yourself. And this one is, are you isolated or are you part of a team? Are you with me? If I can show you that picture, this one that I did show you 2 years ago, also when I was preaching here, the one of the birds. The other one. Can anyone remember that picture when the last time was there? It's great because it's a new one. When we think of God moving with us, it's really being part of a team like that. Now, people, the question that I get a lot of times is, how do you disciple someone? That's probably question 101 that I get. And the answer is very easy. You make sure, like those words, you and someone else slipstream, you're following someone, and you're also helping someone to follow Christ at the back of you. Now, how do you know where should we all go? And that's why we have Sunday sermons and stuff like this, is to actually hear from God, where are we going prophetically? So that we all as a church can move with Him. It's the same with the Israelites going from out of Egypt. There was the fire at night and a cloud in the day. And you knew, as a dad or as parents, that you need to keep, you know, stay with that cloud, with that fire. And in that cloud and staying with that, you also knew God's provision is with that. So a lot of people, again, don't want to focus or ask God for those provision. what God already made, if I can put it like the terms and conditions, is actually just stay with the cloud and the fire. Are you with me? So for you to make sure you stay in God's provision, stay in His protection, is actually to make sure you're part of something like that. In your case, Andre would be the bird right in the front. He's the one bringing the prophetic guidance for you. Now, he's also part of a team where he is flying. It sounds funny, behind someone else. But the important thing is, you making sure there's also someone behind you where you make it easier. For those that cycle a bit, you would know when while you're cycling, there's like a slipstream. It's easy to cycle behind someone. It's easier to be part of a team. And the devil also knows that, and that's why he doesn't want you to be part of a team. He wants you to do your own thing, to go and cycle on your own. And then sometimes we're even proud by suffering on our own. But God never intended it to be like that. And I want to read to you, and this is, just for a moment, I really want you to quickly focus now. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for yourself. God promised rest here. Now, who of you are medical students or doctors? Who's the doctors in here? It's quite a few. Now, I want you to quickly just think about this as, what is who labor in a heavy laden? I will just summarize it. It's very simple. This is your issues. This is your problems. The Bible says, come to me all with problems and issues, and I will give you rest. Amen? Do you see here? Can I have a more stronger amen? Just to make sure the people at the back, where's the social club? Just wave. Get off your Blackberries, Facebook. So here we see God says, all of us with the problems and your issues, come to me and I will give rest. God wants to give the rest. Now, again, there's a terms and conditions here. How do you get to God's rest? It's in the next verse. Take my yoke upon you. What is Jesus' yoke? What is the yoke? It's the things on his heart. It's the things that's important to him. Now, what is important to Jesus? It's the lost, the people that's captured. Are you all with me? So the Bible says, if you want to get rest, if you want to solve your problems, yoke with me. Are you with me? Now, the weird thing is here, where people struggle is that if I've got issues and problems, I want to focus on my issues and my problems. I don't want to focus on yoking with Jesus. It doesn't make sense. But if you've got a headache and you need to drink a Disprin, the problem is then in your head or the pain, but you swallowed the pill to go to your stomach. So does that make sense? Now, if you would go back to your doctor and you say, the doctor said to you, but I gave you a Disprin, did it help? He says, no. Then the doctor might ask, but how did you use it? Now, if the person says, I took the Disprin because I have a headache and I took it and I put it against my head like this. And I was very, there was a lot of commitment. I was submitted and everything, submission, all these things, and my faith was all in this, and I put the Disprin here. Now, guess what's going to happen? You're just going to have a silly white spot on your head. But the same it is here in the Bible. God says, I'm giving you the Disprin to help you with your issues and stuff, but what we do is we don't take the Disprin, we put it against our head. Are you all with me again? Are you trying to see where I'm trying to go with this? The best way for you to solve your issues and your problems is to yoke with Jesus. What happens here in the stomach, that's his part. He's doing the miracle there. He is the one bringing the rest. And a lot of times we as Christians make the mistake that we want to give the rest to people. And again, even in our small groups, we sometimes make the mistake that when people come with issues or problems in our small groups, we want to give them advice because we have it. And we're so clever. But what are we doing? We, the people, then bring the rest in people's life. Are you all with me? Yes, there's wisdom in the council of many, but I'm sure if God talks about that wisdom, it's talking about directing people to Christ. The wisdom is, how can I use this problem that this person has in his life and direct him to Christ? The thing that you want to solve is not the problem. Yes, you want to solve that too, but you want to solve that by getting that person to God. Because remember, that stone afterwards must bring glory to God, not to you. Someone mustn't say, oh, I've got this great small group facilitator, or I've got this great pastor. You've got a great pastor. But that's not the point. What we want is people to give glory to Christ. Are you all with me? And that's why, even and again in our small groups, the best that we can do for people, or even your friends, is to get them to yoke with Jesus. Can I have an amen on that? Then Mark 11, verse 17. I want to confirm something Paul just said. This is not Paul in the Bible. Paul, the pastor. And he was teaching them, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations? This is for me, again, if we want to look at your own life, if you are yoking with Jesus, therefore, if the things that's on his heart is also on your heart, because that's what we all want, this is a nice indication. Is what is your heart for the nations? How do you know if you've got a heart for the nations? It's actually easy to test that. If you would get a new job, what would determine, or if you want to seek for a new job, what would determine where you would go? Your heart for the nations that God has given you, or your self being wealth? What job is the best for you? Are you with me? If we say we've got to have a heart for the nations as Jesus has, we need to say, ask ourselves, if I have to move from East London, will I go where God wants me in the nations? So will that first determine where I go, or will my job determine where I go? Does that make sense to you? Now, I'm not saying we all need to go in full-time ministry. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is just that heart. We want everyone to have the same heart that Jesus has, because we want to yoke with him. If we yoke with him, the same things will also be in our hearts. And that is a heart for the nations. Yes, now, so sometimes you will hear people say, but I just want to have a heart for the people around me. But that is not what we see. It's the same in Matthew 28. You all know this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. You know, it's having a heart for all the nations. And again, for me, when we come together in small groups and stuff, it's always to think, are we having this heart for the nation? Are we in that place? Do we have, are we yoking with Jesus? Are you all with me this morning? I quickly want to, and I actually want the worship team to come forward. And if I can ask the rest of us to quickly stand. Just a few things that I want us to bring before God this morning. And the one is, first of all, as I said, to really make an effort and even to keep one accountable with this, that when God comes through for you, when God does something in your life, I want to actually challenge you here this morning. I want to challenge you. Take the same amount of time that you took to ask God for that thing. Take that same time to say thank you to him. To think of, what can I do to bring glory to God? You know, even this morning, I'm just so aware that the whole this morning is about glorifying God. But see, I think we sung that song that say, I want to see God being glorified. But I want to say, no, we want to purposely see God glorified. You know, where we think, how can we glorify God? In every moment, every time that God comes through for us. And sometimes it's, for me, sad seeing people that where their heart's desire is more to grow spiritually. They want to go deep and they want to go wide, and they want to grow in the anointing, and they want to grow in so many places, but they don't really focus on purposely want to glorify God. And the best way, if you want to grow in all these things, is actually to ask God again, God, I want to bring glory to your name. Show me where, how. And I want us, even this morning, I'm going to read to you Psalm 71. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you want to commit to this psalm, also in your own life. Psalm 71, verse 12. Oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste, help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered who seek to my head. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. Now from verse 15. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds, of your salvation all the day. For then their numbers pass my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come and remind them of your righteousness. Yours alone, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I will still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to the old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come.